The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Poor Nicodemus. He was completely out of his depth. The miraculous signs Jesus performed revealed that he had been sent by God. But Nicodemus had no idea that Jesus was God, the Son of God come down from heaven. When Jesus spoke of being born again, or born from above, being born of water and the Spirit, of the blowing of the wind, or of the Spirit, Nicodemus was hopelessly confused. And these were earthly things, Jesus says. Lacking faith, not recognizing Jesus as the promised Messiah given by God that the world might be saved, Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Almost certainly, Nicodemus left that night confused. But the testimony Jesus had spoken wasn't wasted. As Nicodemus pondered Jesus' words, the Spirit was at work. By the close of Jesus' earthly ministry, Nicodemus had been reborn from above. The kingdom of God had dawned in him, and he had seen the light. Seen in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of the glory of God. After Jesus had been crucified, this same Nicodemus brought some 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes, with which he and Joseph of Arimathea prepared Jesus' body to be laid in Joseph's new tomb. But thank God for Nicodemus, for in response to his lack of understanding, Jesus spoke some of the most precious words ever recorded. We pick them up beginning with verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may have in him eternal life. In a sermon, Martin Luther explains, in the 21st chapter of Numbers, we are told that the people of Israel were angry in the wilderness. They murmured against God and Moses, and especially treated with contempt the glorious blessing which their God had bestowed upon them in giving them manna. God punished this sin by sending fiery serpents among them that bit them. As a result, their bodies became inflamed and burned like the fire of hell, so that they sank down and died in great numbers. Then the people recognized their sin, confessed that they had done wrong, went to Moses and implored him to intercede with the Lord to remove the plague from them. In response, the Lord commanded Moses to make a brazen serpent and to lift it up in the wilderness. Whoever would look at this serpent made of brass would recover and not die. This history the Lord Jesus cites here and applies to himself, that he too must necessarily be lifted up like the serpent. Whoever then will look at him, that is, as he himself explains, believe, shall not perish, but have in him eternal life. Let us here first of all learn the cause of the dreadful judgment that the Lord Jesus twice passes upon all men, in that he says, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, and unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. From what source has this evil come upon man, on account of which he must be excluded from heaven and be lost forever? From nothing else than this, that the old serpent, the devil, so bit our first parent and through sin poisoned him that death has us all by the throat, and it is impossible for us to doctor and help ourselves. This we see in the case of the children of Israel in Moses' day. Whoever was bitten was prey to death, and nothing could help him. So it is with us all. For the wages of sin is death, and where sin is, there death must follow. Because all men by their natural birth are born of their father and mother as sinners, they must also bear the sentence and on account of it suffer death, as the Lord expressly warned Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. But the Lord lets his mercy shine forth in this, that he does not want poor, poisoned, and condemned persons to be lost. And just as he commanded the brass serpent to be lifted up, which looked like all the other serpents, except that it was not poisonous and was to be a remedy against poison, so he permitted his son to be lifted up on the cross, that all who look to him shall not be lost, but be saved from death and have everlasting life. Jesus also has the form of the poisonous serpents up there on the cross. Yet there is no poison in him, but merely the appearance of it. For although Christ has taken on himself our flesh and blood, still his flesh and blood are without poison and sin. Yes, they save us from poison and sins. This exposition by Luther then leads directly to the wonderful words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." What does God think of me? By nature, because of the law of God written in our hearts, if we're honest, each of us would have to answer, "He's very angry with me." And the law further teaches that there is nothing you or I can do to fix that. Nothing we can do to make up for what we've done wrong. Even if you were to be perfect from this day forward, that's only meeting God's requirements. It doesn't earn extra credit to offset all your past sins. These words of Jesus, though, change everything. What does God think of me? He loves me. That's what Jesus says. And he knows. God loves me. He loves you. The evidence for his love is that he gave his Son, his only Son, whom he loved, so that the world, all people, should not perish, but in Jesus have eternal life. No matter what you've done, no matter how tragically you've fallen, no matter how great your sin, you're included in God's love. After all, you're part of the world, aren't you? And God loved the world, not just selected people in it, but all, in this way, that he gave his Son that the world might be saved. That means he gave his Son for you, too. There's a blessed assurance in the words, "God so loved the world," because those words mean God so loved you. Lest there be any misunderstanding, Jesus explicitly says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The demons could ask Jesus, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" The simple answer to their question is yes. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. If a person were to ask that question, though, even the worst sinner imaginable, the answer would be very different. Ask him, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth?" And his answer is, "I came to redeem you from sin and death, to win for you forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation." Ask him, "Have you come to destroy me?" And the answer is, "Oh no, not to condemn, not to destroy, but to save you, to give you eternal life." God gave his only Son for you. St. Paul helps unpack the wonder of this when he writes, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things, victory over the devil, sin, and death, victory over hell, the gift of heaven, righteousness, and eternal life in Christ, who was given into death for you? All these things are yours and more." God doesn't hold back on his blessings. He gives them overflowingly. in His Word, in holy baptism, by the declaration of forgiveness, and in the supper, all so that you may be saved, so that you may have eternal life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, Jesus says, that whoever believes may have in him eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This gospel, Luther wrote, is one of the most precious passages in the whole New Testament, and fully deserves, if it could be done, to be written with golden letters in our hearts. Every Christian ought to learn this consoling text by heart, and should repeat it at least each day, so that we would know these words well and could readily apply them for our consolation and the strengthening of our faith. They are words which have the power to gladden us when we are sad and to bring us back to life when we are dead, if we but trust them. Let us pray earnestly that God would impress these words deeply upon our hearts through his Holy Spirit, so that they may become powerful in us and may give us much joy and consolation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.